adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey, everybody. In the studio, Danny Bonaducci yet again and his lovely wife, Gretchen. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. I couldn't get enough of Danny, so we brought him back. But kind of toned him down a bit with his wife because I thought last night he was going to read through the phone and throttle one of our callers.
It was a thing. It turned into a thing all night and a little bit today, too.
I have no doubt. And he, a guy named Robert called him. And said he had quite a relationship with the lovely Gretchen.
I had quite
please don't
a
call in tonight, please.
Quite a relationship. Oh, and Danny ran over to the telephone. First, he wrote down your number for me to call.
Yeah.
And then he ran over there and called himself. And Gretchen had no option but to say, I have no idea who this guy is. And things have been relatively peaceful
since.
Well,
you know, she tried to weasel out of it, too. I said, you know, do you sure, this guy sounds like you wanted to go to, you had blonde hair then, you went to Chicago to be a singer. No, I don't know. Well, Gretchen had a boyfriend or a guy she was dating right before we got married. And I said, what was his name? And without thinking, she goes, I don't really remember.
Oh.
I go, well, how do you know?
Did you subsequently remember?
Actually, no. You know what? I did remember.
It's not Robert.
No, it is not.
So what you're saying is you've been thinking about this other guy all day.
Well, only because you were pinning me down and you got so bent out of shape that I couldn't remember the guy's name.
A long time since I pinned you down.
Oh, that's funny. So it's Breaking Bonaducci. Is it still airing right now?
Yeah, I think. I don't really know.
I don't know.
This is kind of cool. After the show tonight, I'm off to Mexico City because 17 Latin American countries bought it.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to be the drunk maniac in Mexico, Argentina,
Colombia,
I think is funny.
Are you going to go tour all those countries?
No.
You know
what's weird is because it's funny. I like that it's in Colombia because I spent a decade sending all my money to Colombia and now they're giving it back. I understand Pablo Escobar died with like 50 of my bucks in his pocket. And I think it's cool that they're giving it back.
Only 50.
But it says, he traveled light, man. But it says on like, this is really cool. It says on the airport thing, like, where I'm supposed to meet my private security.
Oh, yeah.
I think that is so cool.
Oh, for sure. In Mexico.
For sure.
Yeah.
In Mexico City.
I was in Colombia once with a group, and we had to go with guys with machine guns.
Yeah.
And then guys lined the street that we were on. It was like, should we be here? Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I'm not going.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah,
I know. Of course.
First thing I do, first game, ditch the security. That's the first game right there.
I'm going to have him put a tracking device on you just so I can keep tracking
my teeth.
I'm thinking about how your daughter, how she's going to respond to the idea of you being down there with security trying to ditch it.
She's just going to go, oh, my dad, he was lost in Mexico. It'd just be a little notch on Isabella's belt.
If you make it,
it will be.
Yeah, and I will. I always land on my feet. I'm like a drunk cat.
Does she lose sleep over her dad?
I'm sure she does.
Does she ever talk to you about it?
Not often.
Mom, do you let Daddy behave like that?
Well, no, she knows I don't let him do anything.
No, I know, but your kids think that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, she worries, you know.
Well, it was funny. When you were at the house yesterday, and you were so kind, you talked to me about this, I think off the air, because you were talking to my daughter, and there were cameras rolling, and that you don't... There's a line you're not comfortable with children, which I thought was so gentlemanly of you, because there'd be a nice little flash moment to get my 11-year-old to confess him, I saw him drunk running down the street setting fires.
Uh-uh.
And you didn't go for it at all. As a matter of fact, I came in to help you out, and I went for it. Honey, don't you remember when Daddy set that fire? Tell Dr. Drew about that. Tell Uncle Doctor.
I was really interviewing her to make her feel a part of.
Right. Yes, you were. You did a wonderful job. And the funny part to me was she was combining stories. She's combining things she heard about with things I've told her in a joke with serious things
she's seen. It was very vivid, and she had quite a twinkle in her eyes. She was telling stories.
Yeah, well, she especially loved telling a story about me peeing on the pie, which I was...
Well, I was wondering if you were... I also, you'll notice, Danny, did not bring that story up last night. But now that you've brought that up, Gretchen, why don't you go ahead and tell that story?
Well, Danny was on a diet, and I found this beautiful pie, and I had to have it.
Lemon meringue.
No, it was apple. Apple pie.
No, apple meringue, because I knocked off the cigarette butts.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, it was this delicious pie. I had to have it. So I would... have the pie travel through the house at different locations because I figured he wouldn't find it if I kept moving it.
The amazing moving pie.
Well, one day I
hear this scuds
bellowing from downstairs, and I'm like, what? Like, the house is on fire. He's like, what did you do with this pie?
You don't love me, saboteur.
So I ran down the stairs with Isabella and kind of handed her off and then jacked the pie from him and kept running. So I tried pouring things on it so we wouldn't eat it, and nothing
made
worked.
It inedible.
Yeah, so
what'd you put on it?
a cigarette butt, spit, and nothing would stop him. So I finally threw the pie on the ground and sat on it and peed on it. So that way I figured, okay, there's no way. So if anybody has anything they need me to, you know, food items, I'm your guy.
It was amazing because while she was doing it, because that's not Gretchen's style.
Well, she's rangy, you know. Yeah. She's rangy. She thinks on her feet.
So I remember I'm sitting there looking at her in the female pee position, which is a big, awkward deal. And there's this pie and it's on the floor and the TV's going. I'm just appalled. And I went, I love that girl.
You win.
Yeah, you win. I will not eat that pie.
Yes, I did it.
Wow. That you've gone up a few notches in my esteem, too, I must tell you.
Yeah, the stock's gone up.
Well,
and shared it on the radio.
Yep. That's
even better. Well
done.
I love
to share.
I like the way.
Yeah, that's what Robert said. Oh, excuse me.
That was the moment that actually I dug with Isabella, your daughter, was when she goes, well, there are no real stories. Well, there's a time when mommy peed on the pie.
What?
You're not going to withhold this one.
But that's when I said she started combining stories that actually happened that she knows about, the things she heard about. Like, I'm watching her, and I'm off to the side so she can't see me because I want her to feel free to talk to you. And she goes, at one time, my dad is really drunk, and he started smashing his head against the wall going, I don't feel this. And I'm going, I'm confident I've never done that in front of a child. I'm confident I've done that. But I'm confident I've never done it in front of a child. I have, you know, there's certain, you know, lines I won't cross. And the
you don't know sometimes when you're super loaded.
No, I'm afraid that's true. I hate to admit that. But it turns out that when I think I'm really in control, just wasted, it turns out I'm out of control and wasted.
Yeah.
Didn't know that till I got sober. When I look back at some of the stuff I did, and I thought, I wouldn't do that. That's not my nature.
That's how denial works. And what she said was that she hit her head, and it freaked you out, and sort of proved to her that she shouldn't hurt.
Uh-oh. That happened. That totally happened. Okay, I thought she was saying I was just a maniac and smashing
her head. No. You said, here, look at this. He started smashing.
She did. She hit her head, started screaming. I go, watch this. And I went bang on her closet door.
Yeah, closet door,
okay.
She said.
And I smashed my head right through, which freaked her out completely.
Yes.
So then, you know, the show had to continue.
So those combined stories.
Oh my,
by the way, if you're just tuning in, it's Parenting Tips with Danny Bonaducci.
Oh, yeah. Okay, anyway.
I didn't even know what to say to that.
Anyway. All right, let's go. Let's talk to a kid that dealt with a broken family. This is Matt, 21. You're on with the Bonaduccis, Matt.
Matt?
We all potted up here.
Our buttons pushed in.
I think we scared Matt.
He's not there? Is that what you guys are saying? Sometimes it takes a few seconds.
Yeah.
All right, so that's that. Well, here's something very light and easy.
Oh, God, please tell me it's not another guy who says he's dating me.
No, I won't set you up with those. Kimberly, 22.
Hi. I have this problem. When I start to, I guess, get hot and heavy with a guy or we start to have foreplay, I get really, really bad dry mouth. Or even if there's no foreplay and we go straight to sex, it's like horrible, horrible dry mouth.
And because you're anxious and breathing through your mouth? Is that why?
You know, I have even tried to, like, just keep my mouth closed, and I don't know. And I really didn't...
Okay, we hate that. Find another solution besides keeping your mouth closed.
I didn't really think anything of it until I started talking to my friend, and she's like, hey, that happens to me too.
Well, first of all, there's an artificial, this is going to sound really gross, but there's an artificial saliva and a gum, a medical gum, if you will, that it affects exactly that problem. I've had that problem when I first started in radio. I was so nervous.
Wow.
And I started talking like this. And with my reputation, I could not sound different than any other day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I called a doctor. And I said, what do I do? I'm on the radio. Thank God he recognized me and, like, took pity on me. And just right over the phone, he said, just go to your nearest pharmacy. You want this while I call it a prescription. Yeah. Liquid saliva, like an artificial
called
saliva.
Called Salivar. It's a spray.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That's what I used.
And, there is that, Kimberly, but I'm not sure a doctor would prescribe Salivar so you could give a blowjob to your boyfriend.
I would. But you know, I've got some left over at my house.
And it's not a matter of nervousness or anything, because I'm, like, completely comfortable with the time.
Do you mind if I ask your age? How old are you?
I'm 22.
And how old are the guys you're sleeping with?
My age and older.
Okay, they don't care.
They don't care.
You can have a dry mouth and your head can catch fire. They don't care. You're fine. You'll get over it. You'll salivate all on your own. Everything will be fine. Really. Okay. But there's no 22-year-old in the world that goes, oh, dude, she has dry mouth. I'm not doing it.
It's probably the fact, again, you're sort of aroused and your autonomic nervous system shifts. And maybe because you're excited, you're breathing through your mouth a little more rapidly. And that's enough to kind of dry things out. But the guys aren't going to be bothered by it. And she needs to kind of get over it, basically.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to William. Let's stay with the mouth sores. This is 28, William.
Hello, Dr. Drew. I'm a very, very big fan. I've been listening to you for a lot of years. I was actually listening back when The Poor Man was the host, and you first went to Five Nights a Week, and your first guest was Joan Jett, and Poor Man accused her of being a lesbian and pissed her off.
You're right. William, your memory is better than mine.
And I have your book, and I... Yes, I have cracked, and very, very good, and it helped me with things I was going through at the time. So, big fan, this is a great, like, thrill for me to talk to you.
I really enjoy talking to people that have been with this show for many, many years, because it's like... Really, you were there?
Plus, it's
Did
like
that really happened.
It's like you'd won a contest. Who was my very first guest and sidekick when we went five nights a week back in 1907?
A lot of people who have been listening for a long time may not know this show was only on one night a week for years.
For 10 years,
I think I was on it.
Like a lawyer, like on which I don't remember the guy's name, but you also have like a lawyer on like some nights as well.
Yep. It was one night a week for years and years. You're absolutely right. And it was the little known fact, it was on from midnight to 3 a.m. initially.
Oh my God.
Well, they're, you know, testing was. This was, and not to suck up, it's just a matter of fact, this was a groundbreaking show.
It was. It was something that was considered bizarre.
And they lucked out, and once again, back to the not sucking up part, but they lucked out with you because they couldn't do the show without a real doctor.
Right.
And you had to have a medical professional.
But here's the deal. I wasn't a real doctor at that. I was a medical student at that point. They they asked me to come up here. I barely heard of the radio station because it was 1982 or 83, and this station in Los Angeles was just getting going. And they kind of described the show in the middle of the night. I thought, all right, I'll go. What the heck? I'll check it out.
Right.
And then I hear over the weekend they're promoting a real doctor's coming in to promote, you know, to discuss STDs. I'm like, oh my God, what have I done?
STDs.
So I brought textbooks in and stuff. And I thought, look, I could try to answer the questions. I'm just going to educate and stayed with it.
Right.
And I was sort of so blown away by what was coming across the airwaves. I thought, this is really interesting. I thought I was doing community service.
Well, I don't know any other show that's been on this long. So
I did it for 10 years for free, thinking I was doing community service.
Ooh, and you just crossed the line to kind of stupid guy.
Well, and then, and then my wife became pregnant with triplets on about the same,
week,
they decided to strip this thing out 5 nights a week, and she went, no more community service. You go and talk to them about a job, and that's where it started.
By the way, that's what made the world-famous K-Rock world-famous, is they just didn't pay anyone for like a decade. It was like a privilege to be here. Shut up. Why do you think Rodney still lives in one room?
It's a cool station. I'd work here for free. It's cool.
That doesn't matter. Weatherly won't return my calls.
So, William, what's going on?
I have... like reoccurring sores in my mouth. Mm-hmm. I've had them since, around October. Mm. And they were like cold sores, like things I used to get all the time when I was a kid. But I haven't had them in a long time. Now suddenly I'm getting them again. They'll go away for maybe a week or two, and then they'll come back, and they'll be like on the inside of my lip or on my tongue. I'm wondering if it, like, does that sound like herpes?
Well, yeah, of course. These recurrent oral ulcers, even when they're in your kid, they tend to be herpes-type viruses that cause that.
Okay.
And they will sort of, they can be dormant for long periods of time and then sort of come up in a flare. And usually something causes that flare, like you have braces put on or you cut your tongue or something really sort of irritates things and causes the virus to come in again. And once it's there, it flares for a while.
Right. I was with a girl who I thought might have it. Uh-oh. I didn't do anything like, I didn't like go down on her or anything like that. I don't know. That's why I've been thinking it might be herpes, or maybe I'm just like worried.
Ask the girl if she had herpes? I mean, what if you thought she had herpes? Didn't you feel you had the right to know?
No. I'm pretty. She told me that she had it, and we did not like have sex. I did not go down on her, but we did do other things, including kissing. And I'm wondering.
Well, if she didn't have it in her mouth, you can't get it from her mouth unless she had sores in her mouth.
Sore?
Yeah, but that does tend to be a herpes virus. What I think happened is you got a new girlfriend, you were making out a lot, that irritated your mouth, and your virus that you've had your whole life has kind of come back.
You should talk to the dry mouth girl. This is all psychosomatic.
This is Ileana, 18.
Oh, hi. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to say, I love you. You're great.
Okay. Which one of us?
I'm assuming Dr. Drew.
Yeah,
I'm
sure it's you.
Okay, I have a question, obviously. Me and my girlfriend, we're sort of on and off again. We date for about, 2 or 3 months, and then we break up. And the reason that we break up every time is because we become, distant.
What does that mean?
like, we, like, stop really talking. Like, we don't talk about, like, deep things anymore. We just talk about...
So, hold on. Let me make sure I understand this. You're distant.
Yeah.
And then you get close, and by virtue of getting close, you become distant.
I guess, yeah.
Do you know the deepest thing I like to talk about with my friends is 18-year-old lesbians? I really like to discuss that in depth. Now, how do you throw a monkey wrench in that? You've got two 18-year-old lesbians there. How do you screw that up? How is life not just not nirvana?
Well, maybe when they get too close, it freaks them out, so they come apart.
Right.
I think
both you and your girlfriend gay? Because I have noticed, I'm hanging around with, not a younger crowd, but anywhere between, yeah, I guess a younger crowd, 25 and my age, in my recovery meetings and all that stuff, and they're very colorful and tattooed people. And I have noticed that straight girls who are just a little bored are sleeping with other straight girls just because they got nothing else to do.
Fluid.
Are both you and your girlfriend gay, or are you just like each other as well as you like other things?
I'm actually pretty sure that I'm gay. I haven't had any, like, interest in men for a few years now.
How about her?
She says the same.
Oh, she's right there?
Yeah.
It's getting better by the second, Doc.
There's a slightly bogus flavor to this, but okay. You remember last time you fashioned a lot of bogus calls. Yes. So here's the deal, Yana. One thing that I can tell you about lesbian relationships that I have been involved with in treatment and whatnot is they tend to be very intense. Mm-hmm. The closeness that two women achieve in these kinds of relationships are often extremely intense.
Although, on the other hand, the number one crime of passion is two gay men. Murder and passion.
Each other.
Number one category demographic for that is gay men.
Interesting. Well, I wonder if there's a lot of methamphetamine used in that population, and that makes people violent, and who knows. But I'm wondering if it does, as Gretchen is saying, just to reset here, Danny's wife Gretchen's in here, it's Danny Bonaducci, if that is in fact the case that they get too close.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be. And if it is, maybe just create some more balance, or maybe see, you know, try to create more balance.
Because 18-year-old relationships, whether they're just friendly, or they're lovers, or they're heterosexual, they're intense anyway. You know, aside from being crazily in love with every girl I met, I also could not bear to be away from my best friend. Why am I not with Scott and Dave right now hanging out? This is outrageous that I'm not with my two best friends. So emotions run extraordinarily high.
I'm surprised you remember that because I was watching my kids sort of behave like that, and I was thinking, yeah, that was how I was. And as an adult, you kind of get very far away from that.
I think because friendships came up as a thing with Gretchen and I when we were in therapy is that I didn't want to leave my house or make any new friends. And I had often said now, I haven't had any friends, new friends since Dave and Scott.
Mm.
And that until recently, that was true. So I really flashed back to high school all the way through 35 with Dave and Scott almost every day.
Wow. Ileana, is that it?
Yeah.
All right. Hope you're okay?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you going to school now?
No.
What do you do for a living?
I actually am unemployed.
What's your plan?
I'm actually going to go to beauty school.
Okay. And your girlfriend?
Good for you.
She wants to become in the Air Force.
That's Air Force. Cool. All right. Well, get on that, though. This is going to be okay, but you need all that balance in your life. Don't get so focused on your relationship.
And just so you know, the Air Force is a signature, and then they walk you through. Beauty school is 1,700 hours before you get your license. It's not a joke.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks, I'll do that. Like, go to American Bartending School, which is a week. Cosmetologist is 1,700 hours.
Krista, 20.
Hi. How are you?
We're good.
Hi.
This is actually a question for Danny and Gretchen, if that's possible.
Yeah, sure. Right here.
It's kind of because of I've seen tad bits of your reality show. I know that, Danny, you struggled with alcoholism.
No, I didn't struggle with it. I had it down. I was an expert at it.
I am currently seeing someone that I've known since I was very young, but just recently had the chance to start building a relationship with. He is going through the 12-step program right now, and he just started it.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent that he's doing that.
It is, but it's kind of difficult because three of the things that you're not supposed to do when you stop drinking is get out of a steady relationship,
mm-hmm.
change your living situation, and get into a new relationship. Well, he got out of a relationship of 5.5 years.
Ooh.
He's about to move, and he seems to be starting to get serious about me.
Right.
So basically, my question is, should I walk away and let him get clean and sober on his own and hope that he comes back to me, or should I try and stay by his side? And not worry about
Gretch,
the fact that he's
you want to start?
I think they recommend.
But each three of us have a different opinion. Yeah, go ahead.
I think they recommend that you not get into any kind of relationship for a year. That you focus on
your
recovery.
Change. No major change.
Yeah. So I think if he's just getting into it, it's going to be really rocky for a while. So maybe it would be better to put the brakes on it for a while. That's what I think.
I agree.
I say here's what I say, and this is as a spectator because I have no control or limited control over my emotional state. If I'm in love, I'm in love, and that is that. Mm. You know, this girl could be the Black Widow who's killed her last seven husbands.
You're
I
gone.
Don't care. I'll change her. I love her. That's all. If I were in control of my emotions, and I'm speaking to someone who I hope is, I'd put the brakes on it, too. I'd go, it's just as easy to fall in love with a sober guy. You don't need that much baggage. I've heard it in movies. I was going to say my mother used to say, but she never used to say this. It's just as easy to fall in love with a rich guy as a poor guy. It's just as easy to fall in love with a guy who's not an alcoholic. And as charming as we are, there's more than this guy drinks too much. You don't become an alcoholic just because you drink too much. You drink too much, and then about the eighth time you hit somebody. Then you crash a car. Then you've got three or four sentences to jail. And then you can't have a gun or vote. You know, there's a lot of baggage that comes with being a real live alcoholic. You just don't drink too much.
Bonafide. Card carrying.
Yeah. If you deserve your membership to the club, and I do, mind you, that's why I'm the president, there's more baggage. And if you don't need it, if you can cut your losses now, I suggest that you do.
Yeah, but the other thing is you can also, if you like him that much, a year's really not that long to wait, you know, just kind of
right.
sit back and see.
I've waited over 10 years to even get this chance to be with him, so a year's really not that long.
Uh-oh.
See, she's me. She's going to go no matter what we say. Then go. Yeah. Jump in both feet. Have at it. It's going to be bumpy and weird, but it might be worth it.
I'm going to go a little bit easier than that and say, how old is he?
He's 25.
Guys in their 20s who get into recovery, I've never dealt with one that didn't continue to kind of date and see people.
Right.
So assuming that he's going to, he probably shouldn't, but he's going to.
Right.
Krista certainly could be one of those people, provided that they really don't get in seriously. I agree with Gretchen, that's a mistake. That it's going to, if there's one thing that takes people out of recovery, it's relationships.
And we've been dating, like seeing each other for about 2 months now, but we're both kind of trying to say, don't make this a commitment, don't make this serious.
That won't work.
Try. All right, fine. And if you can't do that, or if he starts becoming unstable, or his sponsor starts getting on his case and threatening to fire him and that stuff, maybe you ought to back off.
Maybe, but the fact is, and I said it being flippant or, just dismissive about, however charming we are, which was juxtaposition on our behaviors. But the fact is, just like some of us are real bright, some of us are, in fact, real charmers. Mm. If you're looking for the red flags, there's been a red flag in Gretchen's marriage. My marriage is perfect. Okay, Gretchen's marriage is on the rocks every other day. And she doesn't go, and I don't go. It's not that easy to just go once you're in emotionally.
No, that's right. Mm-hmm. And then you got to get philosophical on a certain point.
And a lot of times some people get, not Gretchen. Gretchen is the most even-keeled human being I know. But people do, and girls in the past have, gotten addicted to the drama that is my life.
Well, yes, there's no doubt about it. That certain co's like drama. That's sort of what they're attracted to. Phone number here is 1-800-LVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Danny Bonaducci. His wife Gretchen is in with us tonight. And we're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Thank you for calling Loveline. Your call will be answered in the order it seems interesting.
Call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Here we are with the Bonaduccis on Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's try again with Matt, who is 21. Matt.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
We got you.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
I had a question for Dr. Drew. Basically, just a little background. My parents got divorced when I was 13. I haven't really been able to see my dad since. And a few years ago, he moved back to a town that's like an hour away from mine. And now when I go visit him, I'm like, there's not really like a family connection, if you will. Like, I don't really feel like, that I don't know how to explain it. But
right. You're not attached to him. He lost that.
Yeah, and I was just wondering, is there any advice to, like, get that back, or, like, is that gone forever, or what?
It's gone in the way you fantasize it coming back. You know, in the sense that you idealize a father figure, that is something that he has left behind because now you just have this guy here. You understand?
That's tragic.
But there's going to be a different, there's always going to be a separation now between the person that you really see in front of you, who you can kind of look at more realistically, and the idealized image that every human gets of dad. And I bet you'll even have trouble reconciling the two people, right? It seems like almost two different persons.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And that part, the one you used to be attached to is important, leaves a huge imprint on your brain and your sense of yourself and your relationship with other people. But you can actually, by developing a relationship that's real with him in the present, begin to understand more clearly who he was for you as a father. It'll never be quite the same, but it's actually healthy for you to try to develop some sort of sense of who he is and why he's done what he has done, and maybe even think in terms of earning or learning to forgive.
Okay.
Makes sense?
It does.
I mean, to say.
Do you recommend therapy? And, I mean, is there something that
therapy would be for Matt, but there's nothing really you can do for the two of them. They have to forge a new relationship.
Right. He has to reconcile the fact that, come on, son, let's go out in the front yard for a catch. Those days are over. If that's what you're looking at, that's gone.
Right. He could do that, but it's not going to be what it used to be.
No, it'd be forced and weird. I had moments like that with my dad when we really gave it a try. Let's try and get it. It was just awful.
Did you have a long period of separation from dad?
Most of my life.
Really?
Yeah.
And so you can relate to this.
Absolutely. But I never wanted any part of him when that moment came back. And I guess we were about 30 when we tried to be friends with my dad, or I was about 30. Mm-hmm. And it was just so forced and horrifying that I just, you know, I came to the conclusion, this is done. We all had our chance till I was about 13, and that moment is gone.
Did you ever try to get out and throw a ball around or something like that?
By the time my dad was amenable to even speaking, he was paralyzed. So it would have been just mean to throw a ball like that. Just, your dad catch this, bitch!
Had he had a stroke or something?
Several.
Yeah. Oh, my.
And then he recently passed away. And it was kind of weird because I was the closest guy, so they called me. I was like, what am I going to do? And they said, he's dead. You don't really have to do anything. So I just went over and hung out with the body till the paramedics got there. But it was very odd.
But that's a great example of how detached you were. It was just some guy who died.
Yes, it was. My daughter asked me, she said, are you going to feel bad? And I had always wondered, like, when this guy goes, am I going to feel really bad? Because I did have a window back in if I wanted it, and I didn't take it. And I thought to myself, really thought it out, and I thought, no, I won't. I won't feel bad.
Your daughter is going to be like a great novelist or film producer or something someday.
I think she will be spectacular.
Yeah, she is too aware. She asks the probing questions, and she lights up about stuff like peeing on pie.
but she did. She flat out asked me. She's a little bad.
She was probably 9 when they were 10, right?
Yeah. 9 or 10 when that happened.
Yeah, that was just a year ago.
And I think she actually asked me before he died. She asked me, you know, because there's a health issue all the time. Mm. And she just said, you know, because I didn't go. Like, if there's an emergency, nobody called me. I was the last person to call. It's not my issue.
Well, I think it's so great that his relationship with our daughter is entirely different, you know, because it could have been the same.
As his dad.
Yes. And so I'm just so proud of him that, you know, he's been able to forge a really close relationship with our daughter. And it's great. You know, it's wonderful to see him.
Is it going to be different with your son?
No, I don't think so. I think he's going to be trouble that Isabella is not. I think Dante is going to be a bit of trouble. For example, before we came here, I was really tired. And I realized I had one of those full throttle or rock star or whatever drinks downstairs in the cabinet. And I opened it, and it was awful. I haven't had it. You know, I've been unemployed not having to go to morning radio anyway for 9-10 months now. And so why would you drink that? Bile. So I took a sip of it to wake up, and I didn't like it. I just set it down, and I caught my 4-year-old taking a sip off it. No, you'll be up all night. And the second I said that, he couldn't have enough of it. The second he realized it would have an effect on him.
And is the vestiges of your relationship, the ghost of with your dad, going to affect how you relate to him, aside from his desire to pick up your drinks?
No, because, which is a bad call for that kid already. No, because the overwhelming sentiment in my family was fear. You just were afraid all the time, and nobody's afraid of me in my house.
No, but I do think he is tougher on Dante than he is on Isabella.
Okay.
I think that is the kind of thing
I would figure. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. All right, let's go ahead and keep going now. This is Janine, 26. Janine?
Hi, this question is for Dr. Drew.
Yes, ma'am. You're on with the Bonaduce's, nonetheless.
nonetheless.
Anyone can answer it. I'm definitely open for any help. I'm 26, and I have never experienced an orgasm.
Gretchen?
Gretchen.
Dr. Drew?
Gretchen. No, what is your full question?
That's my question. My question is it possible that there's something wrong with me that I never will be able to experience it?
That's pretty rare. So let's see what may be in the way. Are you on any medication?
No, definitely not.
Do you have any medical problems?
Nope, definitely not.
Were you ever sexually or physically abused growing up?
I was as a small child.
What happened?
I had an older cousin that was sexually molesting me.
How old were you when it started?
I'm not exactly sure. I want to say maybe 3 or 4. Jeez. And then...
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. I will tell you what, Janine, that is a circumstance that I have seen create a great deal of difficulty with having orgasmic function, in that when a child under the age of 4 is being sexually abused, it's painful. And the child literally learns to disconnect from her body.
Oh, wow.
And so do you kind of not even feel anything below the waist, Janine?
No, I do, because, I mean, I've tried so many things. And
you've tried on your own and you can't do it, right?
Right.
Do you get close and then become frustrated?
That's,
do you get, like, you feel like it's coming up any second now and then you get frustrated?
Well, that's the thing, is I don't even know what that would feel like. I don't even know, like, I mean, of course sex feels good and certain things feel good, but I don't know what, you know,
Okay, well, it sounds like, I'm going to move this along a little bit here and maybe put words in your mouth, but okay. It sounds like rather than being disconnected from below your waist, things are disorganized that come out of there. You can't really understand it. You can't appreciate it. It's just all disorganized and right. Overwhelming. And that is also part of this whole syndrome. You know, I was going to say that one of the things that women that have difficulty having orgasm need typically is an experience of intimacy in order for this sexual function to begin to blossom. So the idea of masturbation just doesn't work.
Right.
Unless they're sort of with somebody or feeling about somebody or thinking about somebody or having sort of an emotional experience with it, then it can begin to work. So if you can pull that off, Janine. The other thing is, if you're with a boyfriend, he has to be... Are you with boys?
Yes. I was with a guy for 5 years.
Though. Hang on. Does he do oral sex with you?
Yes.
And is he careful and good? Does he pay attention? Is he listening to you?
Yeah. I mean, I've had guys definitely, like, you know, whereas, like, it's almost weird that I'm not orgasming. Like, I should.
It's weirder for them.
But I'm very good at faking it.
Yeah, well, that is a bad idea. As soon as you fake it, then the guy's done. He doesn't really focus on trying to do something better or bring you along because he feels like it's over with. So don't fake. If you're interested in sort of getting this evaluated more thoroughly, I believe the Wadsworth VA at UCLA has got a department of psychiatry that does a lot with somatoform dissociation. So UCLA is a place that has newer therapies to sort of reintegrate the body and the mind, which is really, it's biofeedback and that kind of thing.
It must be so different to be a girl than to be a boy, or a female to be a male. I mean, when you think of it, wars have been fought over sexual desires.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine just a person who's indifferent to it is just so foreign to my concept?
Right. A vagina is not an inside-out penis. Which is what guys think it is.
And a terrible thing to waste. And it's my motto. Vagina is a terrible thing to waste.
All right. Let's see here. Ooh, this is interesting. Let's go to John 25. John?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, hi. Hey, I have a question about steroids.
Yeah, I'm your man. Well, you're a doctor.
No, I defer to you.
What was that?
Go ahead, man.
I used to have anxiety, like antisocial anxiety disorder, like 5 years ago, and I was taking Paxil for
right.
Like a year. I overcame my anxiety. Now I'm thinking about taking steroids. I'm just wondering if it would bring back my anxiety if I started cycling.
Well, the fact that you know if I start cycling means to me that you've already put in a little investigation into this. People that don't know that term, unless they've either already done a cycle.
He's done some cycling.
Have you done a cycle already?
Yes. But
yeah, I don't hear people talk about cycling if they've been on a cycle.
No, I did a cycle before I knew I had done a cycle. I thought I was just taking shots.
Well, you were just taking shots. Yeah. You would have said some guy loaded me up with this stuff. It's great. Can I get more?
That's exactly what I did. And I just pulled out oil until the needle was full.
Oh,
I found, and this is more with my experience with other people. I did not, that I'm aware of, I was busy having interactions with other chemicals. But I know people that have had a very difficult time with steroids. Very difficult time.
The neuropsychiatric manifestations of steroids can be unpredictable and what we call protean, wide, varied, complex. Get manic when you're on them, have anxiety attacks when you're on them, get depressed when you're off, have panic attacks when you're off. So it's extremely unpredictable. Did you notice that it did affect you?
Yeah, I did. My mood swings and stuff. I never really had an anxiety attack, though, when I was on. I wasn't really taking hardcore steroids, you know, like Deca.
And sometimes the grandiosity and inflation that you feel with the drug overcomes the anxiety. So it's unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. I felt in a way that was helpful to me in a way. I would never, like yesterday kidding around, I said, they're the greatest things since sliced bread, till a guy calls up and wants real information. And in real information, it's a dicey little ride because they affect people differently.
Right.
With me, I thought they're actually kind of a... they evened me off, I felt, a little bit. But then the people I was working out with were breaking out all over their face and looked like they just wanted to go out and get in fights and stuff. And that's That's my normal demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at them going, are you guys crazy? What are you talking about? Let's go lift some iron and look how vascular we are.
Evened him out, Gretchen?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe there's a little denial in there.
He's so grandiose, you know, that it's kind of hard. Yeah, anyway, so I think I noticed a little more, though, definitely. But I didn't notice more aggression. That was one thing that I didn't notice until the alcohol and the Vicodin. And then that was a crazy.
I'm just a pharmacy man.
Yeah, that wasn't a good idea.
No,
so,
it was a bad call.
Yeah, if you do that, don't do anything else for sure because that's.
Yeah, but what
not
a bad
good.
Bumper sticker. Don't do some drugs.
don't do anything else.
I'm just saying, maybe.
From my experience, that was what tipped you over into being a maniac. So.
Was that what it was?
Yeah. Is Breaking Bonaducci going to come out on DVD or anything so people can reference maniacal quality?
I certainly hope so.
I can't imagine
it won't. It was really, really high rated, so I can't imagine that it won't.
Yeah. Well, I would like it to come out on DVD just because there was so many funny things that got cut out because it didn't really fit the theme of the show.
Oh, so there could be the outtakes.
So I'm hoping to do it just so we can put the really funny outtakes back in.
Have you had discussions about that with them?
No, we haven't. We didn't pre-negotiate that, so we're not sure. We hope so, though. That would be great.
Excellent. Well, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. The voices you hear are that of Gretchen and Danny Bonaducci. The show is Breaking Bonaducci. We think it's still on.
Yeah, we think it's still on. We think it might be back. We don't really know a lot.
Well, there's something coming back because the cameras are going to roll soon for you guys, right?
We believe so. Apparently not. They called me and said shut up. So I don't think I can.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, fantastic. All right, we'll be back in just a second.
Love Line.
Okay, wait. My hair. Oh.
We'll be right back.
That's right, Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191, and we'll go right to a call for Danny.
Okay.
Nancy, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. First of all, Dr. Drew, I just wanted to comment mostly to people listening out there that have been abused and that are living with that, you know, trauma going on. It's like when you're in a car accident or something, it's an accident. It wasn't your fault. And you may have scars on the outside and scars on the inside, but you really need to let that go. Let that hate go, you know, know that someday everything's going to be fine. You're going to be happy. You're going to have orgasms. you know, it
might
stop. And you cannot blame that for your drug habits or all this stuff. I'm so sick of hearing these people, you know, constantly for their whole life being miserable and blaming it on their childhood and something that wasn't even their fault.
Well, unfortunately, though, it changes the way the brain develops and it leaves mechanisms in place that don't allow for trajectories into flexible and complete emotional regulation. And it's not about blaming. It's about having neurological impairments as a result of trauma. And so it really isn't their fault, but they can't regulate.
Okay, but see, when you say it in a medical term, pardon me, it sounds reasonable. When you say it that way, that sounds reasonable. When I went to rehab, they handed us bataka bats. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
And you would beat a pillow, and you'd yell who you were mad at, and 70% of people within a minute are yelling, "Mommy was so mean." And I'm going, "You're 40. You have to move along."
That I agree. I'm not too much of a fan of that stuff. But what I am a fan of is re-entering the frame of interconnections with other people. Because one of the things that happens when you're traumatized is you don't trust connections with other people. And that is somewhere that people who have been traumatized can choose to get back involved and allow other people in their lives. Unfortunately, most addicts won't overcome that distrust until they believe their life depends upon it.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Well, it seems so common, is it? I mean,
abuse? Exceedingly common. Now, you got to understand that when somebody is been abused, they have about a 50 to 60% chance of themselves becoming an abuser. And when somebody's a perpetrator, they don't perpetrate on just one.
Right.
They do it on lots.
Wow.
And so it has exponential growth built right into it. Here is Lee, 30.
Hi there.
Hey, Lee. What's up?
Hey there. Sorry, I was taking off of speakerphone so I could actually listen to the rest of the conversation. I guess I'm just kind of curious about something. My husband and I have actually been married for a little while, and I'm one of those women that actually really enjoys to give a man a blowjob, but I run into a weird problem, and I've noticed this with guys that I dated in the past, and I'm struggling with it now because I have this problem with my husband. I actually get an upset stomach if I swallow when I go down on my husband.
Well, I get an upset stomach and she won't. So
I get an upset stomach her thinking about swallowing. So I can just imagine what it would actually be like.
I forget what feminist writer said, but she said that that is how you know God is not a woman. If God were a woman, semen would taste like chocolate.
That's very funny.
And very true, I think.
Yeah, Lee, to me that sounds normal, reasonable. Yeah, what are you going to do, Gretchen?
I agree with her. I think it's...
disgusting. And so here's the deal. Guys don't necessarily insist on things ending up in your stomach. They just don't want the rhythm broken at the important times. You know what I mean?
I agree with that, but there's also, and I guess this comes and goes, pardon the expression now that I think about it, but there also is the level of intimacy and love. I don't care if you like it. Make a display of your love for me right now.
Which is a little bit...
weird.
A little bit aggressive, a little misogynistic. The reality is...
good sex is a little bit aggressive.
The reality is, if she disposed of it in some way that you really weren't even aware of, it wouldn't make any difference.
Oh, don't get me wrong. 9 out of 10, I don't care.
Right. Just as long as you didn't stop.
You can call me by the wrong name. Yeah. Right. Steve, that's awful. Fly with me.
She can't break the stride,
lying.
All right, let's try Ashley, who is 14. Ashley, what's going on? You're on Danny and Gretchen Bonaducci.
Ashley?
Uh-oh, is she asleep?
I think we might have scared Ashley with that last call. Scared me.
All right, let's try a 15-year-old. This is now Steven, who's 15. Steven?
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I had a question about, like, at random times, my heart will just start beating faster, and I can feel it start beating faster for no apparent reason.
Okay.
I've been to multiple doctors, and all of them have said different things. And they're not really sure what it is. They kind of ruled out SVT, but I'm not sure if you know what that is.
Yeah, I know what it is.
But
here's the deal. If you've had, that's a relatively benign symptom at your age.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen multiple, it's an easy thing to work up and diagnose for more serious conditions. And if you don't have one of those, you don't need to worry about this. Now, your heart rate goes up. You could be anxious. You could be hyperthyroid. I'm sure they checked your thyroid. I'm sure you had an echocardiogram and you were evaluated for valvular heart defects and hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And even if you had supraventricular tachycardia or SVT, that's also basically a benign and essentially normal condition. So all of this is nothing to worry about, Stephen.
Okay.
All right.
God, that was the best call of the last 2 days.
Okay.
No, really. I mean, it wasn't all sexy and gnarly and stuff like that, but it was like, that was the first time. That's a big news for that 15-year-old. He was scared to call in the show and have the doctor from the radio go, this is nothing to worry about. That's a big deal for him.
That's good. Because stuff, it's funny. For me, it's so matter of fact. It's like, why are you worried about that?
No, that's
other
big
people,
news
for 15,
him.
They don't,
15, your heart's racing and you don't know and you go to the doctor on purpose? Right. That's a big deal.
Connor, 17.
Oh, hi. My question is that over the last summer, I was touring with a drum and bugle corps. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah, sure.
Sounds like a tattoo, a military tattoo or
something. No, it's from your school, right?
Well, not really my school, but it's they have different groups all over the country that I go through and, like, you know, you try out for them, and you go and you tour around all over the country and play.
Anyway.
Yeah, so your question is?
We got it.
And so my question is that at that time, I had a relationship going with somebody at my high school, and then I got with this drum and bugle corps because I found out they needed people, and I went, and I was in there for a little while, and I'd probably known this girl that was in guard for probably, I don't know.
Hey, Connie, you get right to the we're out of time here.
The question,
what's the question exactly?
My question is that I ended up having sex with her, and I didn't really know her. And, like, I've been kind of down. I've been down for the past long time, and I don't know.
How long?
If that's because of that, or.
How long?
How long?
Yeah.
Since last, what was it, like July?
Oh, no. That would not. I mean, certainly intense relationships can trigger depressions, and they may have figured into why you sort of fell into it. But no, that's not considered sort of a normal reaction.
No. First of all, I don't even know a member of the drum and bugle corps that gets laid. You should be setting up fireworks, okay? You're like the chess club, okay? You're getting a girl. It's good news. So if you're really bummed out since last July, you should seek some help.
I would look into it. Yeah. That it may be that you're truly depressed, or it may be that the meaning of all that was something overwhelming to you, but it has certainly triggered something that sounds like a depression. and you're suffering with it, and you're obsessing, and it's not normal, and you ought to look into this. Someone ought to help you out with
Join that. Interpretive Dance. They get laid all the time.
Kurt, 17.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Kurt?
All right. I have, like, a second hole, kind of, in my anal region.
One of my best friends when I was a kid.
You know what this is.
I don't actually know what it is. I just know somebody who had it.
Had a second anus.
Yes, it's exactly right, Chris.
No, it's not a second anus.
Well, that's what he told us that it looked like. I never saw it. We weren't that close, Doc.
Is that what you think of this is, Kurt?
No, I'm just my friends and I are just kind of like, whoa, like WTF, you know?
What's that WTS mean?
What?
Got it, WTF.
What the F? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Does it sort of leak fluid once in a while?
Yeah, it gets kind of sweaty and like yeah. every once in
and
a while.
And really,
like,
it's above your anus, right? It's not below it. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I want you to hold on a second because we have to take another break, and we will address what exactly is going on.
How
above
do you know if it's
Kurt's
above
anus.
Or below? What if he's laying on his stomach?
Because I know what this is. I know what he's talking about. I know what this is. And when he's standing up, it's above.
Oh.
Yeah, see? Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. That's Danny Bonaducci. She is his lovely wife, Gretchen, and we will return after this. Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. I'm going to finish chewing this cantaloupe. Oh, my.
I'll do it. This is Love Line with your guest, Danny Bonaducci, his lovely wife, Gretchen, and, of course, Dr. Drew.
Thank you. From now on, you're introing the show.
Happy to do it.
It's 1-800-LOVE-191, and we're going to revisit Kurt and his second a-hole. according to Kurt, anyway. Why don't you go ahead and state the problem?
My wife's got
Kurt.
A second a-hole. Yeah. She calls it Danny.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just have one big one, and I call it Danny.
What's up there, Kurt?
Okay, so I have this hole. It's above my other crack, whatever.
It's sort of in the crack, though, right?
Kind of. It's above it, kind of by the tailbone.
Right.
So
that is called a pilonidal cyst track.
Okay. Is it hereditary?
It is hereditary.
Okay.
And it tends to be. Your dad have it or something?
Well, I asked kind of about it one time. I was curious and not knowing, you know, like, and being embarrassed or whatever.
Yeah.
My mom was like, yeah, I have one. So I was like, oh, okay.
Okay. They're basically little abscesses that sort of tunnel into the region above your tailbone there, or over your tailbone. And they need to be typically cut out. Frankly,
really?
Yeah, because they can they can turn to big abscesses and things and be a real pain in the neck mm-hmm. or pain in the butt,
yeah.
quite literally. so you might want to have a general surgeon look at that. Sometimes I had one. Yeah, and they opened it. They stick a thing down, they open it up, and it heals by itself, and it goes away, and that's the end of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but or they can actually cut out around it, depending on what.
But this would have to cause me real grief before I would volunteer for that.
It hurts to, you know, you bump up against something, it hurts, okay. starts swelling, it drains, it can have pus, it can get infected. It's a big mess.
Yeah, it gets really itchy and, like, sweaty and stuff, so it's kind of in the butt, yeah.
So there you go. And
literally,
literally. So I would look into that, Kurt. That's all you got. Now, there can be other... Here's the thing about that part of your body. There can be other sinus tracts. There can be there can be fistulas and things that are sort of burrowing out from the rectal area to the skin, which is why, you know...
There's a couple words I don't need to hear together. Well, burrow and rectum. I just don't need it.
Right. And it's so...
go all day without that.
Yes, and it's so much worries me when people are so engaged in all this anal sex stuff that they're going to be causing more of these kinds of things. But, yeah, we'll see.
Are you against that?
Not against it. Whatever people want to do, but it concerns me, and I don't understand it.
You don't understand it?
I do not. Maybe you guys can enlighten me.
Well, she can't.
I don't understand it. Uh-uh.
I don't.
I bought this book called Hot Monogamy. I thought our sex life was in a doldrum, and I was right, by the way. And so I bought this book called Hot Monogamy, and I really liked it. And I didn't think Gretchen would like it because, like, all of a sudden she's got to do some stuff. Like, she's got to get involved rather than just say, all right. Which is, by the way, good enough for me, it turns out.
That's
but
good enough for any
then
guy.
She came down the stairs one day all happy because it said, well, we shouldn't do that.
Oh, really?
I haven't done it since.
I highlighted that part.
Yeah,
the anal sex is out, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why'd they say that?
You shouldn't do anything that's uncomfortable to the woman. You shouldn't ask it of her.
That
there you go.
And,
I agree.
Yeah, and it could cause problems and so on and so forth. And I was very happy to come across that.
Right. It can cause all kinds of medical stuff.
Yeah, fine.
All right, here we go. Let's talk to...
Make the sacrifice, baby.
Brent. Brent.
I do. I'm married to you.
Oh, wait a minute, you guys. Now, listen. I just saw this...
just put two and two together?
No,
it's
I
cool.
didn't. Yeah, I just did. Brent is our...
It.
You know who Brent
yeah.
is?
How you been, Brent?
Doing all right.
What's up, buddy?
Well,
I think this question's for my wife, isn't it?
Yeah, actually it is.
Hi, Brent.
How you doing, Gretchen?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
My dad is Rob, and he was wondering how you got your plane ticket to get to Chicago in 1988.
Rob.
Or 87, whichever one it was.
Rob, you know what? I don't know who that is, sweetie.
No?
No.
He doesn't sound like he believes you.
He says that he used to, his best friend was dating your best friend. His name was Who-Man. That's what he went by.
By Who-Man?
Doesn't ring a bell.
You guys went on a couple of double dates sometime, went to the comedy club, and you ended up getting hypnotized. And
I'm
so embarrassed about it that you and your girlfriend were in the bathroom for about an hour.
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
It's a great story, though.
I guess he really did hypnotize me. Yeah, I don't
but
recall.
But is your dad claiming to have paid for her plane ticket?
He said that he had a plane ticket to go see his buddy from college in Chicago. And what happened was something came up and he couldn't make it. And Gretchen was saying something about how she wanted to go to Chicago. And he said, mm-hmm. You know what, we can sign this over to you. And she apparently promised to pay him back the $175 eventually, or however much it was.
That's what he's calling about.
Yeah, what's his money?
She became famous, the famous singer.
Oh, well, that didn't happen. So I guess that's why he didn't get paid. Wow, Rob, you know what? It's possible. You know, I don't remember, but I certainly would not. It's been a long, long time.
You know what I like about this? This is a 20-year-old story, and this guy's still dining out on it. That's kind of cool, honey.
Yeah.
You're a legend.
You know what? If you want to leave your address, I'm happy to send your dad $175.
If you want to leave your address, she'll be happy to get a friggin' job first. We'll be sending him my money.
Yeah. You know what? It's certainly possible. You know, I knew a lot of people, and...
A lot of men flew me around back then.
It sounds like me.
Careful, Gretchen.
It sounds like me, so...
No. It was just a possibility. And
Rob.
I thought it would be funny. I mean, this is obviously the only time I get a chance to talk to either people like you, so.
Not if you have us $175. Apparently, she's got all the time in the world for
that. Well, if I think about it, I'm wondering if maybe it has to do with Holly.
I'm sure it does, but I got to tell you, from his information compared to your reaction, my money's on him and you don't remember.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's my money.
It's certainly possible. So anyway, apologize to your dad. I'm sorry. And if I owe him money, I'm happy to give it to him. So,
Sean, 24.
Yeah.
I'm thinking for a plane ticket. That's not all.
What's up, Sean?
Okay. I'm a widow. I'm 24 years old. I'm a widow.
What happened? Whoa. What happened?
My husband died of a heart attack at the age of 27.
What?
Jesus.
That pretty much only happens to cocaine addicts. What happened?
He was in healthy, good shape, and he died of a heart attack. There was no explanation. The coroner never gave me a response, or they just said he just had a heart attack.
Something's missing in that story. Either he has a congenital heart problem or something set it up.
The only thing he said was he had a clogged artery.
Well, but that's what a heart attack is.
Yeah,
that's the only thing they told me.
Okay. All right, so what's happening?
I got a question about... telling guys, is there a good way to tell a certain way to tell a guy that, yes, I am a widow, or leave it?
Well, I'll tell you, as a guy, if I had the choice between hearing my husband's dead or my husband's in the next room, I'm going to pick my husband's dead.
How about your husband's in the Navy?
See, that would throw me. That's a soldier coming home.
Right.
That's a guy that's been trained with a gun.
Well, my husband and I are estranged, and he's living in Wisconsin.
My husband's in jail. Always. Right. I have a boyfriend in jail. I used to hear that all the time as a teenager.
Huh.
Listen, I'm telling you that no new guy is going to care that your husband's dead. They'll pretend that they're concerned for your well-being, but really we don't care.
I don't know about that.
Some guys
I
may
do.
Care.
Yeah, no. I think that most...
Provided they get to have sex.
Right, absolutely.
Okay,
believe me, if being tender will be caring about the dead guy will get us in bed with you, we're all day about the dead guy.
Oh, my God.
Honest, I'm just being honest with you. And I don't mean to be cruel, but I'm just telling you that guys, especially at your age, you know, this is an important moment and we don't, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, it's an interesting story. This is my girlfriend, she's only 26, and her husband's dead. You know, it opens some doors for conversation. We don't mind.
I was just kind of curious because I've met guys just to be friends. And all of a sudden, I just don't know what's your story or... Because I have two kids from my dead husband.
That's different.
That's different.
That's a different thing for young guys.
When they find out I'm little, they freak out and never call me. They never, like...
No, it's
like,
the kids.
It's the kids.
It's the kids?
It's the kids, yeah.
Yeah, the fact that there's no one else to be responsible for them, but this, mm-hmm. you know, right. but whoever you might be dating.
Yeah, my wife, my lovely wife, Gretchen, right next to me here, her, like one of her best buddies is really super attractive. This is really attractive girl, which, by the way, is disconcerting. The first few times you come over, there's just some hot chick in your house. Not besides you, I mean, of course. And, you know, you just go, wow, man, the pressures, and I've never really known a single mother before, the pressures that are on a single mother. And I think about some guy starting to date this, I mean... If this girl didn't have a kid, she'd be snapped up like that. She's gorgeous. And, but people fly from that kind of stuff, especially right. at young age.
Young
yeah.
man don't know what the hell to do with it.
Well, I admire that you're taking care of two yeah. kids. That must be so difficult. I mean, I have two, and it's all I can do. And you doing it on your own is amazing.
Right.
I'm applauding you.
I'm doing it on my own.
Mom, your mom?
I have family. I live with my mom, and my mom helps me with the kids. And, you know,
well, thank
without
God.
Her, without her.
Freak for having said that on the radio.
Yeah. But really, I got to go with Gretchen on this. God bless you. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I'm the fun dad. Gretchen calls me the Disneyland dad, you know, and my answer to everything is yes. And what can I possibly buy you to put an end to this crying? That's just the way I parent. And, you know, when I was first unemployed, when I was first off the radio, my big deal was that I got up at 3:30 in the morning. That's my contribution. I make a lot of money. Don't bother me about small stuff on this. And then when I got fired from my job... I went downstairs at like 7 in the morning. And by the way, 7 in the morning and 4 in the morning, same thing if you don't want to get up. They just suck. Waking up before your body wants to is horrible. Mm-hmm. And I went downstairs, and this is, you'll think it's a scene from a movie. It's not. This is really what I saw. Gretchen had Dante in one arm, a frying pan with bacon in the other. My daughter screaming, I'm not wearing this to school today. And my dog, here's the color. My dog was biting her pants and pulling on them because he was hungry.
Wow.
And I said, is this what happens here every day? And she said, yeah. And I said, I can't do it. And I went back upstairs and didn't come down for 3 months. I realized like, I can't do any of this. It's mayhem. It's pandemonium. So God bless this girl. Yeah, I truly am sorry your husband passed away. But God bless you for being able to raise two children. And by the way, your family helping you out still is on your own. That's yeah. what families do.
Yeah. Yes, right.
And you know what?
My family doesn't even like me that much, and they'd help. It's two children.
Yep. Right. And when she does find someone, he's going to be amazing.
Yeah, you that's
know,
true.
Someone that's willing to do that, that's going to be a great thing.
Good for you. Always look on that side of stuff.
All righty?
All righty. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Is she crying? It's Jason. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Drew. How's it going?
Hey, Jason. We're good.
I'm your next co-host, by the way, so get ready.
Cool. People can, by the way, keep the cards and letters coming to producer Ann, K over Loveline, 395901 Venice Boulevard, Los Angeles, 90034. Is that right? And we're going
to. What's that address again?
Okay. 3901 Venice Boulevard, Los Angeles, 90034. We're going to pick some people to be on the air here.
Forget about that. I want that already.
Oh, you just get it straight away. Okay.
Yeah, everyone else just don't write in. I'm the one who actually tried to call and get Adam to stay, and Anderson said how much he hated me and all that, so that was pretty funny. But
nice.
I have a couple of questions for, well, first of all, Steve-O can go off and light his balls on fire. That's what he does best, so we don't want him back anymore. But
you're never going to get this job not getting to your question. I promise you
well,
that.
The first thing I have is for Gretchen, is that Drew never really got into this. It's like, did anything kind of like weird happen in your past and stuff? Because I don't know too many people that would get married to anybody, like, on the first date. And I was just, you just never really delved into it too much on kind of what
yeah.
it was all about.
Definitely, question. Definitely, no. My mother died when I was 8. Mm-hmm. My grandfather hung himself in my basement when I was young, so ooh. I definitely have trauma.
Did you have
trauma.
To walk into that, or?
Well, I did, but I didn't see it, and you know, my family didn't tell me at that point in time that.
Do any members of your family actually go of natural causes?
I think not. So
I'm not making light. Obviously, I'm going to answer this young man's question. That is, did anything weird happen to you? Your mom didn't die. Your mom fell out a window. That's weird.
Yeah, that whole story. Tell that story.
We were living in Germany at the time, and my mother was in a hospital, and they didn't speak English, and she was having a baby, and I'm not even exactly sure what happened, but what I think happened from what I hear is she died while giving birth, so I think she just wasn't okay in her head, and she ended up falling out the window. So, yeah, I well, definitely
have trauma. They protected her by saying she died during childbirth, so not to tell her she fell out the
yeah,
window.
Yeah, I didn't know that till I was 22. They had just
women that
died.
Throw themselves out the window do that because of postpartum depressions.
Yeah, but
that's
I
why they do that.
Yeah, but I just don't.
Or postpartum mania, postpartum psychosis is really what it is.
Well, I have letters from her from the whole time she was over there that she had sent to people, and she was so happy. So I just can't even imagine that.
Yeah, you got to understand something. Postpartum has nothing to do with psychology. It's a biological event. There, I've some of the wildest psychotic episodes I've seen is women postpartum, where they literally. They'll throw water on people, think they're on fire. Their brain reacts to those profound changes of pregnancy incredible way.
Obviously sane woman who was very active in her churches fairly recent, killed three of her children, drowned them.
Five.
And that was a depression even. That wasn't even a psychosis. And the psychosis, I remember one woman, I saw her standing upright, bent over at the waist, chewing on carpet. I couldn't imagine how she did it even.
Yeah.
Wow. It was the most bizarre thing I'd ever seen. And then climbing the walls the rest of the time. And this woman was an executive who had a normal life, very happy, and within 3 days of her pregnancy, lost it like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Nothing psychologically wrong with her.
Wow.
So I got to go and answer to this person's question. Yes. Yeah. Weird stuff happened to the grandstand.
Yeah, I'm sure I have what's it called? Abandonment issues, or I don't know. What would you say? You're the expert.
I didn't want it to sound like a disrespectful question, but because I just remember him saying that he was kind of drunk and he found a minister, but you weren't. And I was just trying to figure out if a regular caller called in and had that happen to them, Drew would really kind of grill them and figure out. And
so give it to me, Dr. Drew. what do you think?
we talked about it yesterday at your house, I think.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
And
wasn't asked the last time that you were on.
I try to treat our guests like guests, Jason. not like callers.
We've been here 2 days in a row now. You can get to it.
I was just curious. And the other question real quick that I had is, on the show, when the two of you would, go out to dinner or something, and you'd have a glass of wine and Danny wouldn't, I was just wondering if, since he's in recovery, if you still feel comfortable doing that when you're with him, or it would just be better, if you had a drink when you're with your friends or something and he wasn't with... I didn't know, if he was...
I'm happy to answer that. We had discussed that because I was happy not to drink in front of him. Mm-hmm. And he felt like if I was changing my behavior, it would make him want to drink more.
Handle the burden. As a matter of fact, it's unfortunate. I have friends that really don't drink very much at all. Gretchen drinks maybe 3 glasses of wine a week, if that.
I don't drink hard alcohol at all anymore because when he quit drinking, that was what he would drink. So, if I'm going to have a glass of wine, which I enjoy, I don't want to do something that... It's something that he would like to drink. Yeah. Right. So
I enjoy being a wreck, not a glass of wine. I have no time for a glass of wine.
I'm a normie. I can have one or two and then I'm done. So
But to answer your question, yes, she'll be happy to, and I insist upon it. Not only that, if they're out of wine and her friend drops by or something like that, I go, "You want me to run to the store real quick, pick you up a bottle of wine," and then I do, no matter what their answer is.
Pick it up.
Yeah. Even if there's no, we're fine. I still go get them a bottle of wine just so it's in the house because I feel for some reason that people are not drinking because of my issues, and that's not fair. And even if they're not, I just can't stand the pressure of a bunch of people I know would like a glass of wine, and they're not having it because the alcoholics, the identified patients that is in the house.
What does that make you feel, resentful or intruded upon?
No, it feels like, I feel like because that I'm, for lack of a better term, sick, that everybody else is behaving as if they are ill.
And that
and
makes you
not.
Feel?
It makes me feel responsible for their behavior, and I don't want to.
And you're angry about
I'm barely responsible for
you,
my
you're
behavior.
You're angry about that, yeah. Okay, and that makes you want to drink. You're angry, resentful, okay. All right, very good.
Thank you, Doc.
Rachel, 17.
Hi. I have a question about Lexapro.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just started taking it a few days ago, and I'm wondering what the most common side effects are of it.
Rash.
I think it's jittery.
Lexapro? No, Lamictal you're thinking of, yeah. Because Danny's the expert on Lamictal.
Right. I took Lexapro for a while.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah. That as well.
That's what I like about us, Doc, right there. I have a question about Lexapro. Well, he prescribes it, and I take it. So you've come to the right show.
Or you had experience with it. Both of us had experience with it. Different sides of the prescription. Lexapro is a remarkably clean medication. It has very little side effect. If it was anything, I would think more like headache or drop in sex drive or problem with sexual functioning, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
maybe
some
nausea.
I did have a bit of that. I'm not as promiscuous anymore.
Into my meds.
It's only been a few days, and I've already noticed this.
That may be a good thing, though, right? Mm-hmm. That's sometimes why they give medicines like that to somebody your age.
Yeah.
Also, so you don't hurt yourself.
What about the weight gain part of it? Because I was at Jiffy Lube today, and I was reading a thing on antidepressants, and it's like saying, you don't have to be fat, and
It's rare from Lexapro, Rachel. Rich, why don't you ask the doctor prescribing all this stuff to sort of work it out with you? You gotta trust the people that are treating you, okay?
Why are you reading about antidepressants and Jiffy Lube?
Right.
What kind of handouts do they have? What happened to highlight the differences in the drawing? Well, that's the dentist's office.
Magazines that I love to read. Also,
yeah, the doctor's right. I took Lexapro and I had no side effects of any kind.
Really?
Yeah.
It's one of the cleaner antidepressants. It really is.
I had a reduction in sex drive to Prozac.
Anymore.
You what?
I'm not horny at all anymore.
Yeah, but like, maybe that was so the desired effect. I mean, if you were putting yourself in harm's way by acting out sexually, maybe this will kind of tune it down a little bit.
That's not why I started taking it though. Because
I'm just saying.
But what the doctor is saying is they could have given you a veritable potpourri of medications.
Right.
And they picked that one possibly for the reason that if you didn't describe it as such, that they at least inferred that your sexual desires and inclinations were going to get you in trouble. So they picked a drug that would naturally lower your sex drive.
A little bit, right.
Oh, smart people.
Yes.
Yes, they were.
Guess why I took it.
Also, have you heard of the program called Attacking Anxiety and Depression?
This is a nice snappy name. What is that?
It's from the Midwest Center, and I think that like anyone out there who's suffering from generalized anxiety disorder or just any anxiety, depression, stress of any kind should like look into it.
Why?
It's from the Midwest Center.
Oh, well, that's a good reason.
Yeah, it's from the Midwest. It must be good.
Yeah. Why?
Because it. I started doing it a couple weeks ago, and even a couple weeks later, you know, I'm...
Yeah, but you're on medication, Rachel, you're on medication now.
No, but I've only been on medication for like 3 days now.
Then I guess it wasn't working that well, because after you'd been there, they now felt you needed medication. Here, you know where you'll have a hard time with me, and I'm a big believer in science and chemicals, and that is that I don't think if you have clinical depression, you're ever going to be talked out of it. Nobody can talk sense into somebody that can't hear it.
Well, not only that, if real significant major depressive episodes is a biological event.
Right.
And you have to, before you can hear things and be sensible, you have to raise that biology.
When Tom Cruise said that he didn't believe that there was such thing as chemical disorders and that these drugs didn't work, Gretchen's response was lock him in a room with my husband unmedicated for a week. See what he says that.
Absolutely.
Because here's the deal. The brain is an organ in the body. It's a very complex organ that can dysfunction. And it's a physiologic, biological process that can be altered with substances. I mean, whether it's abusive substances. I mean, that's like literally like saying that drugs of addiction don't affect your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they do.
Right.
When you're using them and as a residual effect, too. And there are things that have therapeutic effect. Here is Katie, 22.
Hi.
Hi.
Katie.
Hi.
I have a boyfriend who is addicted to heroin, actually. And I was wondering, we were looking at a different treatment. He's finally agreed to go to treatment.
Yay.
Because every time he quits in the past, he never follows through, and he, of course, relapses and lies to me about it and so on and so on.
That goes hand
in
hand.
So, basically, I was wondering, we have a child, and I've looked in the residential, of course, but then he can't work, and that's difficult. So I was wondering if an outpatient treatment would
be effective. No way, Katie.
No
opiate addiction is an inpatient, hopefully 3 month minimum program.
3 month minimum?
Minimum. Wow. The opiates take a long time.
Not that this necessarily matters, but just to satisfy my morbid curiosity, snorting, smoking, or shooting?
Started with the smoking, now shooting.
He's shooting. He's shooting.
Now it's not only turned into a problem in our relationship, it's like I'm worried about his life now.
And
right.
It should be.
Mm-hmm. He has a fatal condition.
Yes.
And you have to think about it in terms of other fatal conditions. If he had cancer and somebody said you need to spend 3 months, take some time off work and focus on the treatment, you wouldn't even blink. People don't take a second to make that decision.
Right. And the odd thing is the chances is he'll die quicker from the heroin.
The heroin prognosis, Katie, listen, Katie. The heroin prognosis is worse than cancer. And so here's the deal. Take the 3 months, do the treatment, get serious about it, and people can get better.
Okay. And do they still lock people in treatment, or does
there's no such thing as locking in treatment? You're free to leave treatment.
It's called jail.
Yeah.
And he'll see it soon enough, by the way.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but if you watch a reasonably well-written movie and it has a junkie as one of its main characters, that's pretty much what it really looks like. You know, that's just, if you let your imagination run wild to the abscesses, the sniffling, the mucus running down your lip, the shivers, the greenish skin,
it's all true.
It's horrifying. Junkies, and I don't just mean spikers, I mean people like myself that are addicted to anything. When you see a guy at his worst, It's just what it. It's just what you thought it would look like. It's the most imaginable ending you ever saw.
That's Danny Bonaducci. Talk to him at 1-800-LOVE-191. Also joining us is Gretchen, his wife, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Love Line. We'll be right back.
Please hold.
Loveline, Danny Bonaducci and Gretchen are in here, and they're both out feeding their addictions to nicotine, so they'll be running back in here in just a second. In the meantime, this is Nick. What's up, Nick?
Yeah, I was the guy that called last night about my son wetting his bed. Remember, I asked you. I just want to say thank you because I made some phone calls today. I talked with his teacher, and everything is set for him to start getting counseling and all that.
Fantastic. Good job.
Thank you.
All right, our pleasure, Nick. Take care.
Sorry, bye-bye.
Okay, here, guys, put your headsets on.
What'd
and
you do?
They came back early. That's
okay, because my watch says I still have 32 seconds.
You do. talk to Don. He's 25. Don, you're on with Danny and Gretchen.
No, my name's John.
John, you're on
with Dr. Drew.
I was trying to have anal sex with my girlfriend, but she says it hurts too much every time we try it.
How dare she?
Dude, you hate being faced with the truth? Of course it hurts.
Well, yeah, I know, but she says she wants me to do it, but it hurts too much, so what can we do?
She wants you to do it, or you're beating on her about doing it all the time, and she says, okay, it'll make you happy.
No, she says, let's try it, and I say, no, let's not do it, because it's going to ruin the moment.
Maybe that's her goal.
Yeah, I mean, there's this giant so right at the top of my head. It's like, so? Somebody pick. I mean, she's trying to go the extra mile for you, and you're trying to be a gentleman. You're going to have to decide which way this is going to go, because otherwise this is just going to be a giant unspoken thing between you. Like, every time your hand goes a little south of the border, she's going to go, okay, here we go! You know, this is just going to be an unspoken thing. You should get this together and decide what you're going to do about it.
And Gretchen, don't you agree that even if, say, a woman subjugates herself and submits to this...
I think she'll be resentful.
That's exactly what I was going to say. There will be a score that she needs to settle that she will one day... have settled.
Right, if you two are going to take that side, then I'm taking this side. So what, buddy? You can fear the wrath and take it like a man.
You're so sensitive, honey.
One time we tried it and she started bleeding.
Oh, yeah. Good times. Well,
I mean, even an experienced woman in that area will sometimes rupture or tear.
Well, if you say so.
I do.
That's what really worries me, because when there's tearing... then there's scarring, and then there's narrowing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's more tearing and more narrowing. And that becomes a really problem, big problem down the line. This is Natalia, 21. Natalia?
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
I have a question. I was molested when I was little by my older brother. And recently it's come to my knowledge that he confronted me about it. I moved to the same state as he did, and I was living in the same house with him and his wife for a while. And what had happened is I only had told one person. It was my ex-boyfriend. And after him and I broke up, he sent an email to my brother saying, you know, he couldn't believe what he did to me when I was little. And my brother confronted me about it, basically apologized and things like that. And, I mean, I'm not mad at him at all. I forgive him, whatever. You know, obviously... It's kind of crazy. What I'm worried about is I don't know if I should speak to him about it regarding it. I kind of feel uncomfortable. I mean, I don't want to bring it out to the family or anything. I mean, this would tear my family apart if anyone ever found out.
All I get from you, Natalia, is how confused and overwhelmed you are by all this, because that's how I feel just listening to your question.
Right. I am. I have no idea what to do. I mean, when he...
Here's the basic advice. Your brother is a perpetrator. You are not to be around perpetrators. Okay? You need to keep your distance from him. If you are not going to send him to jail or to call him out on what he's done, at least consider getting some treatment for yourself, because it will affect your relationship, so you have some support and some way to place to take these trauma issues. But in the meantime, just stay away from him. That's all. Just stay away. Do not be alone with him. Do not spend take as few calls to contact with him as you possibly can. This guy laying this on you is more drama, frankly, and more exploitation and more sort of domination and control.
You know when the doctor's right, when I have nothing to add. When I just go, wow, that's right, totally. You're the man, doc.
All right.
Okay.
So stay away. Stay away and get some help for yourself with this.
As confusing as some issues are, the right answers are obviously so simple. You shouldn't be around a perpetrator.
Yeah, right.
I didn't think of that, but yeah.
I mean, because her thing is over. She feels guilty and she feels responsible and she feels she could risk tearing her family apart. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. You're not going to bring it out? Fine. Do not be around that brother. Justin, 13, buddy. What's happening?
Hi. I have a crush at a girl at my school, and we've been friends for 2 years. And I really want to ask her out, but I'm scared I'm going to mess up our friendship with each other. So,
Gretchen?
Oh, you know what? I think you should ask her. I think that if... Do you think she likes you?
I don't know.
I think you... I'm always for taking the chance.
At 12, 13, you don't really know.
Right.
Do you? You know what I mean? It's possible to be sort of friends and kind of like, and if somebody says, let's go out and do something, you sort of open to the possibility, oh, maybe I do like that person.
By the way, this question is going to haunt you is a wrong word, but this is a question that will be with you for the rest of your adult life.
If he doesn't ask her out.
Well, no, there are two things. One, was she the love of my life is an unbelievable thing that follows people to their grave. Did I miss the love of my life? Right. Did I miss that somehow?
Yeah.
The other thing is, just in general, is this the girl for me? Should I make this move? This is going to be with you for the next 20 years. If you think that things will be better if you pop this big question, do you want to go to the dance? Then take the chance. If she is a great friend, and this is something I've just recently learned, is it worth it? Is going to the dance with this girl worth the possible loss of your friendship? If the answer is no, then don't ask. If the answer is this girl could be the love of my life, and believe me, at your age, she's not. But if you believe that she is, then roll those dice and take that chance. And you're talking
How's
to the
she
post.
Doing? How's she doing?
I think he should be, first of all, when you said he was 13 and he spoke at first before he got nervous and I heard his voice, I thought it was a grown man until he started to get nervous. And I thought, oh, this is a kid. This is a nervous child. Mm-hmm. I think you should be as honest as you were with the doctor and Gretchen and myself. I think you should say, don't say it like this because I'm, pontificating here, but at the great risk of our friendship, which I really do cherish, I really also think I have these feelings. Would you like to go to the dance with me? And you wouldn't have these feelings at your age and your level of maturity. You would not have these feelings for this particular girl if she was not mature enough to handle it. I don't think you have a big crush on a little kid. I think you have a big crush on somebody that is your equal, and I think she could handle this.
And Justin, do something kind of easy to begin with,
Yeah, I think something like go to the mall grab a burger
movie.
Or something, movie. With the mom and dad sitting behind you.
Okay, that's a mom talk. If you can go to a movie by yourself, go ahead.
All right, Justin?
All right.
All right, buddy, take care.
Just so you know, Justin, when you go to the movies, here's a pressure you'll get immediately. The second your forearms touch, when you both put your arm down on the same armrest and your forearms touch, you'll stop watching the movie, and there'll be another 2 hours and 6 minutes of wondering if you should hold her hand. And this never goes away.
Aaron, 23.
Hi.
Hey. Hi.
I'm scheduled to get a colonoscopy and a gastroscopy.
Nice.
No.
Well, I just had this last week.
Yeah, I know.
It was good times.
I was basically kind of wondering what I'm in store for.
You're asleep. You don't remember a damn thing. You're in for a two-hour and a half nap. That's all.
Yeah.
It's fine. The prep is pretty miserable. Take it exactly the way it tells you to take it.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, that phosphor soda knocked me out. I took it all straight instead of diluting it.
Diluting it with gallons.
Oh, my God. And so just do what they tell you. It's kind of a miserable night the night before, and you take a nice nap that day, and it's an important procedure, and you get it done, and that's that.
Huh.
It's really nothing to it. It's nothing to it.
Well, how much discomfort and stuff will I have?
Afterwards, nothing.
No.
You wake up, maybe you're drowsy a little weak the rest of the day. Not even weak, just kind of drowsy the rest of the day, and that's it. Why are you having these procedures done? You're 23.
That's my question.
Yeah.
Well, I had called in before in the summer. It was the night when Rob Zombie was on. Yeah. I had the eosinophilic granuloma.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if you remember that call.
I don't remember that call, but that's a heavy condition. So, yes, you do need to get that checked out.
I figure from all the painkillers and everything from that, it might have caused some kind of stomach damage and intestinal damage.
I doubt it, but the eosinophilic granuloma can be active in the gut, too, so they do get it checked out. Jennifer, what's up? You're 22.
Hi, I just called in because I heard Danny Bonaducci on the radio.
Well, here he is.
And I'm in love with you.
Well, thank you. I'm in love with me, too, so we have that in common.
And I'm in love with you, too, honey.
That's a good day to be me.
Okay, so I was watching Breaking Bonaducci, and I really thought you guys were going to break up. I'm sorry,
so
Gretchen. You're really awesome. I like you a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought we were going to, too.
I was hoping you guys would break up because I was going to go try to find him at one of those, like, drunken club spots where he's, like, running around.
Yeah, I'm easy to find, by the way.
He's in Hollywood, so I thought I could find you.
You saw all his drinking holes, as it were.
Yeah.
Watering holes.
But anyways, I was wondering, are you going to ever be on the radio again? Because I used to listen to you.
Well,
I've been listening to you for, like, years, and then one day I turn on the radio, 98.7, and you're gone, and it's like Jack.
Yeah, it's the Hindenburg. I know. And thank you very much, by the way. The answer is yes. Radio is actually what I do. The TV show, and I'll just be honest with you, for lack of a better term, I do television so I can become the world's most famous disc jockey. I don't do it vice versa. I'm not on the radio so I can get back in TV. That's an unmanageable profession. You know, radio is completely manageable. You have a knack at it, you're good at it.
It's
you
a
can
job,
do it
till
you're 75.
It's a job.
Yeah, it's a great job. You go to the office, you do your job, you go home. So, yes, I will. And hopefully, if there's a second season of Breaking Bonaducci and Gretchen comes to her senses and she does leave me, that you will go ahead and find me. I'm sorry?
All right, so if there's a second season where Gretchen dumps you, can I be, like,
yes.
Rebound?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's lining up his rebounds already.
Now, good to me, so.
Just imagine,
you're
Gretchen.
You're number one in line.
Just imagine, Gretchen, if you were talking like that around Danny, what would happen to him?
Oh, my God.
I would have
insane.
It.
You'd
go insane.
Yeah.
His head would explode.
But, I mean, we're different people. Gretchen one time asked me, and I didn't mean to be flippant, it just came out. She asked me one time, real seriously, too. She said, honey, if I died, do you ever think you'd remarry? And I said, baby, I would bring a date to your funeral.
Oh.
I didn't even think of it. But I don't have the capacity to be alone.
Really?
Yeah, I do not.
No.
Huh. I need to be saved. I'm one of those guys. You know those girls that think they can save a guy? I'm that guy that they might be right about.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
And you know those girls when they come around.
Yeah.
Interesting.
One girl not too long ago said, I'm in love with you. And I looked at her, I said, will you save me? And she looked shocked. I went, pfft.
Doug, 30.
I need to be rescued.
What's up, Doug?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good. Hi, what's happening? You're on with Danny Bonaducci.
Hello, how you three? I'm in a really sticky situation. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I just celebrated 5 years of sobriety, and my best friend's mom said, congratulations, I want to give you some for your present. And I told her no, and she threatened me, if I don't have sex with her, she'll tell my best friend that we already had sex. And I want to keep this friendship.
Yeah, here's the deal. Run.
If this story is just to be taken on face value, this is a lunatic. This woman's dangerous.
Yes, run. And either way, she's going to tell her son. So you might as well get out of there, get away from this person. There's more chaos to be had if you stick around, believe me.
And by the way, sleeping with spooky women, not all it's cracked up to
be. This is Def 25. D, rather. D?
Hey.
Hey, what's up, D?
Hi, D.
Hi. I actually have two questions for you guys, and one is attached to the next. I got in trouble a long, long time ago. Well, it's a long time ago because I'm young. I'm 25. In 99, I pulled a robbery with a BB gun, like all this crazy crap.
Class B felony.
Uh-huh.
That's a Class B felony.
I actually have two strikes for it. I was really lucky. I got a small amount of time. Well, not a small amount of time. I got a year in the county jail instead of going to prison. I got out, I screwed up, I went back, one violation for a DUI. I got out again, I got pregnant, loser left me, of course. I realized I had to change my life. I have changed it completely. I'm an at-home mom, I scrapbook, I cross-stitch, I've been studying computers for 2 years now. My boy is my whole life. Well, I didn't pay off $600 in fines. And this judge has, like, this thing to prove that he's just going to send women away forever. So he offered me a deal, and versus the five lives I have hanging over my head, I took it. And the deal is a soft year, which is serving 8 months on 12 in the county jail. And he told me that I could serve 4 months in jail and then do 4 months on house arrest. The problem is I can't live without seeing my son. I mean, I wake up in the morning to see his face.
Okay, you want the bad news?
For breathing.
You want the unromantic news? Can I help you here?
I made them court order contact visits, but I only get one a month. And I want to know, should I let him come see me behind the glass?
How
and
old?
Is he going to have abandonment issues?
How old's the kid?
He's two.
He's 2 years old. Well, he's not going to have a great memory of this anyway.
I cannot go outside to smoke a cigarette in the morning without him tripping out, screaming bye-bye.
Well, that's not necessarily a good thing.
I've never left him anywhere.
Take the soft year. Take your deal. Okay, that you're gonna you've got four lives because you've got two strikes. You actually have a third now. The man could put you away for life, and they've done it. I know. I don't know the person. I've read about people that are doing life, and the judge will not reconsider because they had a joint after having two strikes. Take your soft year, do 8 on 12, and get out and start your life again. Your kid will get over this. He's certainly young enough to get over this.
Think in terms of helping him create flexibility. The going and coming. He needs to learn that you can. You'll go and come back. And so far, you haven't given him any experience with that. You've not gone anywhere. You've been always there. And that's not good either.
Who's going to take care of him while you're in?
He's actually staying with my cousin that is one exit down the freeway because she's an at-home mom and has kids he can play with. And it's real easy access for her to bring him to see me.
How often will he come to see you?
She can come 2 times a week for an hour each time and then 1 time a month for a contact visit where they put us in a room and I could actually hold him and play with him.
God, it's the saddest thing. Is you know, wow. My son's four. It's just the idea of my son being a glass pane away from me would be, you know. And I'm not the world's most sentimental guy.
I miss him when he goes to his aunt's house for the weekend. I mean, I am just about in tears when I drop him off on Friday night and I go to get him on Sunday. I mean, he's my reason for breathing. On Saturday night, I'm like, did you hear the baby cry? Oh, wait, he's not here.
Where is he on the weekends?
No, I'm just saying, like, if he goes to my aunt's house for a weekend,
I see.
Spend it with the cousin.
I see.
I mean, I miss him terribly when he's gone for 2 nights.
All right, but you have to, your feelings have to be worked through as well. You can't be destroyed by the distance because the child will feel responsible for you as well as his feelings of abandonment. So look, start creating more flexibility, coming and going, and get him prepared for the fact that it's going to get longer and there's going to be longer periods of time and that it's going to end after 4 months and that'll be that. And he will get over it.
And the unromantic news is you won't die. You really won't. I thought that when Gretchen and I were breaking up, I really thought and said to her flat out, I can't live with you. I will wither away and die if you leave me. Please don't go. And she said, honey, that's a romantic notion. You will live. You'll be fine. You'll date, and pretty soon my kids will have a stepmother, which I'm not all that fond of, but you won't die. And I truly believed in my heart I would, that I would lay down on the floor. If Gretchen left me, I would lay down on the floor and die. Hmm. And it was Gretchen who pointed out that doesn't really happen. That happens in the movies and in soft porn novels. You know, nobody really crawls out. I'd like to think that I would. It's a romantic notion, but you won't. You'll do your 8 months and come home to your kid and take care of him, I hope.
And you sound really smart. So, you know, I say get it over with. Do your 4 months.
Eight.
And, or 8 months, or did you say she only did
4?
Four.
Yeah.
And I think that you sound like you're on your way to being better. So I would do it.
It's 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be back with the Bonaduccis.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready. Ready.
We go back to more Loveline. This now is somebody who wants to speak to Gretchen Bonaduce, and his name is Ozzy. He's 19.
Hey,
hi, Ozzy.
Annie, Gretchen, how's it going?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing outstanding. Thank you for asking. I just wanted to get some advice on the woman's perspective. I've been in a long-distance relationship for the past year and a half, and for the past month, things haven't really been going well because I haven't been able to go and see her. And I know that girls, like, they need the attention of a man in a daily basis and stuff like that.
And
she recently broke up with me and told me she started seeing another guy, but yet, like, when we try to, like, not talk, we usually last for, like, 2 days without talking. And I just, you know, want to get some advice on, like, what I can do to, like, just stop, like, talking to her and stuff like that. I know I could just stop answering the phone, but...
Yeah, long-distance relationships, I think, never work out.
Especially at 19.
Right. Yeah.
If you had unlimited resources, you were done sort of screwing around in your life, and you could get on a plane and see her twice a week or once a week or even every other week, 30-year-olds work that out
sometimes.
Not very often.
But I think the question is, this young man has resigned himself to the fact that it's not working.
It's
he wants to stop being heartbroken and wants to move on, and he doesn't know how.
Well, I think the best thing that you can do is put yourself out there again. Try to meet, you know, other people and, you know, see if maybe there's someone else that might interest you, because I think that's the easiest way to get over someone else is to, you know, have someone else that interests you.
There's an old expression, if you want to get over the last girl, get on top of another one.
But yeah, I do think, you know, try to move along. I know it's hard, and I'm sure you're really hurting, but I think the faster you get over it, the better it's going
to
be for you.
And be clear to her that that's what you're doing, that it's for everyone's good, that you're not going to drag this along. You're going to torture each other this way. Hatchet man. And what, Ozzy?
Sorry about that, Doug.
That's
and
cool.
Also, like I have tried to explain that to her, like, we shouldn't be talking because, like, I'm, like, in a different state of mind than she is. But it's like she just doesn't seem to like understand it because I just think she's selfish or something. But
if you really mean that you're going to do it, if you really see, this is the thing. I always tell Gretchen I need to spend less money because I'm an addict in every way, shape, or form, and I need to spend less money. But all I've got to do is actually give her the credit cards, and I never do. Mm. All you got to do is change your phone number.
Right.
And until you do, you don't mean business.
Exactly.
You really don't want to talk to this girl anymore? Make it impossible for her to contact you.
And in about 2-3 weeks, it will all stop.
Yeah, it does. By the way, girls, no matter how painful it is, and boys too, ladies, is about a 2-month pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the real heartache,
give up.
Where you're paralyzed and you can't believe it, and the thoughts of her being with somebody else, and they haunt you, and it's about 2 months.
This now is Dan, 18. Dan?
Hey, how's it going?
Dan.
What's up?
I just had a question. The other day, it's happened to me before, but it doesn't happen all the time. When I ejaculated, for some reason, I got a really bad migraine in the back of my head, and my neck cramped up like right at the same time I ejaculated. And it's happened a couple times before, and I just want to know what might be causing that.
Do you have a history of migraines?
No, I don't.
Okay, there is such a thing as a post-orgasm headache that's benign. But there's some post-orgasm headaches that can be migrainous and actually even can precipitate stroke. And then finally, there can be just muscle spasm in your neck.
Right. That's what I was
saying. And that causes a hell of a headache, too. But so you really have to see a doctor kind of sort out amongst those three. Usually, they end up being the benign, don't mean anything. Mason, 18.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What's up? You're on with Danny and Gretchen.
Hey, long time listener. How you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, question. After I have sex, I feel like really unattracted to the girl, whoever it's with.
Yeah.
Like, and it doesn't really matter girl to girl or look so much. It's just like I feel really unattracted. I don't know why as soon as I'm done.
Because you're normal?
Are you disgusted?
Not like this. Yeah, actually, kind of I am.
I just think I've never, and I've literally, I have changed my moods with $100 and an instantaneous blast of mood altering drugs. There's nothing that has changed my mood, my mind, and my ideas of what's important, like an orgasm, because the second, while still having it, I readjust what was important a second ago. All of a sudden, it's like, how am I going to get this girl out of my house? Oh, my God, what have I done? How am I going to explain this? Is this going to be a hassle? And I'm not even finished yet. Everything changes the second you're done, and not even waiting until you're done, about 5 seconds before you're done.
I got to tell you, though, this whole being disgusted with somebody you just had sex with, to me, sort of goes down with anal sex. I can't get my head around it. I've never felt that way, but I know it is common.
Yeah,
I've been repelled by women that would have sex with me.
You think?
Well, that is in fact,
like,
I think,
strong, like, religious background, maybe.
No, I actually think it's. I think it's. No, I think it's sort of an envy. I think it's the fact that she would have sex with you, as Danny is saying, spoils it and spoils her.
Right.
And so it's kind of a narcissism.
I've been married a long time, so I certainly don't mean to include you in this club. But before, when I was married and just a homeless bum and a drug addict, just a huge loser, like a woman that was going to have sex with me was the coolest thing in the world. The second my mind cleared, this was a person who was willing to have sex with a person like me, and that repelled me.
Yeah, and I think, too, just in general, when, you know, you're done, you just kind of roll over and go to sleep. You're just done.
Are you done with Danny when you're done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Just done.
Yeah.
She's done now.
She's thinking, how do I get out of here? How do I get him out of here? What's going on?
She's done now.
Well, I think when you're a mother, you know, sleep is very important to you. It is. And so, you know, when you're done, you just want to go to sleep. So.
Do you want to hear something just horrible about our sex life about a year ago?
Oh, please, yes.
We're just having issues with sex because I really want it all the time. And this is
not normal.
This is not a thing on Gretchen's.
He's an addict.
Yeah, exactly. And this is not an important thing to Gretchen. So we came to this deal where before I would go to work at 4 o'clock in the morning, I would try and make love to my wife without actually waking her. Because I thought that would be the nicest thing I could do.
Yeah, that worked out nice.
Yeah,
she
was all for it. Yeah.
It was fine with me. But, you know, I mean, I would think I'm the perfect girl. You know, I don't like jewelry. I don't need a nice car. I don't need foreplay. What guy wouldn't go, oh, my God, you're perfect?
Because, Spaz, I need foreplay. I mean, not badly.
We're going to keep this conversation going off the air, and we're going to wrap up with a conclusion when we return after this. But what we decided was that men are okay with their wife being a receptacle for a while. I appreciate the offer. But eventually, a male needs to know that he is exciting to his partner and you're aroused by it, and he gets pretty resentful and angry and feels hurt when it's not. When's that happen?
Well, I guess we have lots we'll to keep talk talking. About on season two.
Yeah, that's going to be season two.
How about the ride home?
Breaking Bonaducci is going to be about the resurrection of the sex life. This will be very interesting.
It's going to be about the res-erection. Look for that.
And thank you guys for coming in. It's Breaking Bonaducci. Season two, we can't talk about it.
Yeah.
But hopefully you guys come back soon. Great to see you, and we'll go out to dinner, all of us, one of these nights soon.
So,
thank you. Okay, until then, it's Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.